And I'm very happy now to welcome to the program Amy Barrett. She is the author of the new novel, Mothers and Other Liars, and she will be speaking today at 5 o'clock at Garcia Street Books. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte. I'm glad to be here.
So this is a story about a woman who finds an abandoned baby in a garbage can, raises it as her own, and then finds out that the child belongs to somebody who's been looking for the child for 10 years.
Correct.
Now, I have to ask you, is this based on any kind of true story that you encountered?
No, it's purely fiction. There's nothing autobiographical. I've not been to any rest stops and looked in any garbage cans. But I think it's just a compilation of some of the experiences I had as a child advocate, where you were taking children out of their homes of what they considered to be normal, and all of a sudden their normal was not normal. They had a whole new life. And I think that was the beginning of that, was the passion that fueled that. And I think that that really serves as the basis for the choices that Ruby makes through the story.
And, I mean, it's a heartrending choice, obviously, for somebody who is a mother of a child who has a different mother.
Yes.
And father. And of course, we won't give away. And in fact, I don't even know how it comes down because I haven't gotten that far yet. Are you from New Mexico?
I lived in Santa Fe for several years in the mid-90s. And it was actually really fun yesterday. I flew into Albuquerque and drove up from there, and it was kind of retracing Ruby's steps. And I know you participated in the book about why we came to Santa Fe.
Yeah, yeah.
And Ruby had her own reasons. She just made a wrong turn in Albuquerque and ended up here, like so many of us who think we're coming for a weekend or a week or a season and end up staying forever.
And you, Amy, decided to set the book here.
I did. I was living here at the time. I started writing the book, actually, 13 years ago when I was living here. Wrote it when I was on a break between jobs, and then went back to work and put it in a drawer and really didn't do anything with it or try to get it published till a couple of years ago.
So is it set in a kind of... what is that, 90s? Yeah, late 90s time space?
It's contemporary. I updated it, I mean, to where there it really isn't any time. I had to add cell phones
and
a few other things that weren't around when I was first writing it. So I think they consider it to be now.
Your work as a child advocate, that has to be basically a continual stream of heartbreaking encounters.
Oh, it totally is, which is why I ended up only doing child advocacy on a pro bono basis. I went to law school expecting that was going to be my life work, and very quickly discovered that I didn't have the temperament for it. I was either going to have to grow a really, really thick skin or was going to get burnt out very quickly. So I compromised by practicing corporate law and always keeping one pro bono case on my desk at a time.
And so what's an example, I mean, without giving away any details that would violate confidentiality, of the kind of cases that you have participated in yourself?
Well, I'll tell you about the very first case that I participated in was when I was in law school. There was a clinical program where the law students could actually serve as child advocates, of course, with real lawyers guiding us. And my very first case was a 10-year-old boy who was ripped out of his home when it was discovered that he was molesting his younger sister. And after some investigation, the whole story came out was that he had grown up in his mother's bed, and that this was what he considered to be completely normal.
So he'd been molested himself.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. He was his mother's lover. And as his younger sister got older, it was just a natural progression to add her to the bed.
Oh my Lord.
Which is, I mean, you know, a pretty disgusting situation. But here was this 10-year-old kid who knew no different.
Right.
He didn't know that there were that other people didn't live that way until his younger sister started acting out at school, and Child Protective Services was called in, and he was yanked out of his home, and he's like, I didn't do anything wrong. You know, why is my life turned upside down? Which is a lot, I think, of where the passion with Lark is. She has a similar situation where all of a sudden one day she discovers that the life she's been living for the past 9.5 years is going to be no longer.
Right. So, if I may ask, was the mother prosecuted?
The mother was prosecuted, but it turned out that she had a very low IQ and that it came from a long family of,
history of molestation?
Yes, it sounds kind of like Appalachia or something, but this was in Connecticut, where it really was just the family lifestyle, and they really didn't think anything about it. But it wasn't the specifics of that case. It was more just the idea of that case and several others where it's like, what if you woke up one day and everything that you'd built your life on was, you'd be like, oops.
Right. Amy Barrett is the author of the book Mothers and Other Liars, and once again, she will be at Garcia Street Books this afternoon at 5 o'clock talking about the book, signing books, and it's great to have you ever so briefly on the Radio Cafe.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
We're going to take a break for just a moment, and Robert will be with us. Stay tuned.